You're listening to The Coffee Hour. I'm Andy Bates.
I'm Sarah Goldseth.
We have a great story to share with you today for Veterans Day. And thanks to those who have served, and certainly we appreciate your service, those who have served to protect our freedom and all that this country stands for. Thanks to Concordia University Wisconsin for supporting The Coffee Hour. You can find out more about Concordia University Wisconsin at cuw.edu.
Live uncommon.
Joining us this morning, the Reverend Daniel Seehafer. He's pastor at St. Stephen Lutheran Church in Horicon, Wisconsin. He also served as the National Commander of the American Legion for 23 and 24. Pastor Seehafer, welcome to The Coffee Hour.
Yes, good to be here.
I might also add that wonderful story in Lutherans Engage the World in the fall issue, and we'll share a link with that in the program notes today, that the managing editor Megan Mertz had an opportunity to chat with Pastor Seehafer and share this story there as well. So Pastor Seehafer, how long have you served as a pastor?
So I was ordained in June of 1997.
So it's been a little bit.
It's been a few years, yes.
How long have you been at
St. I'm getting this.
How long have you been at St. Stephen Lutheran Church?
And I've been at St. Stephen since that time as well. So this is the interesting part. I was in or had call duty of that summer. So my official time at St. Stephen started in August of 1997. And I was called at first as an assistant pastor. And then it was in 2000 where the head pastor took a call and left, and then they were vacant in that area. So then I became quite young, only a few years old. And in God's design, he wanted me to lead this congregation in 2000. So I became the administrative pastor and been here ever since.
How did you get involved with the American Legion then?
So that was just dealing with members within my congregation, sadly to say, and as growing up, I remember a little bit about the American Legion, but not too much when I was younger and growing up in Merrill, Wisconsin. But I was done with the service and just happened to, you know, obviously after shaking hands after the service that all pastors do, right? And an individual came up to me, it was a member, and said, would you like to join the American Legion? He knew that I was in the military and just came up and asked. And I'm like, well, the infamous question, well, what is that? You know, and I explained a little bit of what it all entailed. But of course, as a pastor, you never say no. So I said yes, and it worked my schedule because the fourth Monday of every month, which is the meeting day, I had free of all days. So I said, sure, I'll do it. So it was from an invitation from a member, just asked.
Now tell us about your experience in the military prior to joining the American Legion.
Yeah, so that was quite interesting. I had a crazy journey throughout my SEM. I went to Fort Wayne. For some, don't hold that against me. And for others, woo-hoo, Fort Wayne, all right. But after I got done with at CUW, and kudos to the CUW in Mequon there for graduating in 93, but I chose to go to Fort Wayne. I just liked the campus, and I knew somebody there. I had some connection there. So that's where I went. So during that time, I got close to some professors, and especially a professor by the name of Dr. Daniel Gard. And he was Navy chaplain as well. And there was a passion that I always wanted to serve. And this goes back to when I was in high school, just even joining joining the National Guard, but it didn't work out for me at that time. And so I always had this desire to serve our country and give thanks. My father was in the service for a time. And so I just wanted to give back. But it just didn't happen. And however, now knowing somebody who was a professor and talking it up, I really wanted to do that. However, I had a problem as well, is that part of my training, I went to Estonia for some global mission work. I was interested in mission work as well. So I wanted to tap in that field, and I had an opportunity to do that. Well, that door closed. And when I came back, I know a few of my buddies already were commissioned, signed up, and they were going to be heading out that summer. And so I came back in November of 1994, and it was pretty much impossible. However, one thing you learn from me, as the good Lord says, nothing is impossible for the Lord. And so I was like, don't tell me I can't do something. So I made sure it was a miracle, really. But I got all my paperwork in, my professors and the people that I wanted to send in recommendations. Everybody did it for me, and I was able to go in and start my training that summer of 1995, and that's where it started. And I'm so grateful for having that opportunity.
Tell us more about your experiences as a Navy chaplain.
Yeah, so, I mean, there's something that I always brought up in my journey, especially for a national commander, where I talked about changing lives and saving lives. And we can talk a little bit more about that, but I think as the Navy chaplain, that is exactly what I saw, how I could change lives and save lives just by listening. I know that we're talking right now, and I know we have listeners out there, but sometimes as a pastor, I don't talk much, believe it or not. People talk, and I just listen. And that's what I did as a chaplain. And I just saw so many roads and doors and windows being opened just by doing that. One, to make sure, I know I went on a training exercise aboard a vessel, ship, and I remember that the outcome wasn't so good. What was happening is that they weren't passing their exams, and very high stress on this ship. So, of course, they went and asked for a chaplain. So, you know, wave your magic wand. To be able to go in there, support from the captain, and offer prayer, to see a negative side on that, where some people were already back in, well, 96, 97, people even in the military zone not being very friendly and open to prayer. So there was some hardship there. Not that they attacked, you know, me personally, but, you know, we talk about the joys, but we also talk about some negative stuff too. It's not all roses out there, but the impact that I had for some really, really stood out. So I know the captain was very pleased, doing a prayer, asking for blessings on the advancement of their team, which did happen. But then also to have people who were going to leave that ship because it's such a high stress, they were going to go AWOL. I had a line up. I don't know how long it was that they wanted to talk to the chaplain. That's how hungry and hurting this ship was. But to make myself known in one incident, if you get into a new situation, how do you make yourself known and to say, hey, I'm here for you? So what I did is everybody eats, right? And so I learned this from Chaplain Guard and some other chaplains, but everybody eats. So I went down as an officer into their territory, but I handed out dessert. It was part of the servant leadership, actually. Mm-hmm. Before there was even such a thing called servant leadership. And I was handing out desserts, and people were like looking at me thinking I was like on drugs because an officer dishing out, you know, working? I mean, they should be in their own little separate quarters. But I was there just saying, hi, you know, introducing myself. And then it trickled that basically that this was a cool chaplain to be able to do this. And it trickled, and I just said, hey, I'm if you need to talk, I'm here. So it really made an impact. But that's one little story. I mean, there's so many more of people coming in and just needing counsel. And again, I'm looking at now after I'm done as chaplain with all that, but to really hold chaplains in high regard and esteem, you know, not only do they serve their country, but helping those that are in harm's way, sacrificing their work and their families. And a sad thing, ladies and gentlemen, and also guys here too, one thing that I dealt with was the plague of veteran suicide. unbelievable statistics out there where we're dealing with, as of 9/11, at 9/11, 135,000 veterans have taken their lives, had ended their lives by their own hand. And that's that's just a crazy amount of people. But that is more, to put it in perspective, that is more deaths by suicide from 9/11 to present than all the deaths incurred from Korea to all the wars present. That's a crisis. And that's what I've been kind of preaching on the road as well as a national commander. And that's why we need to step up as American Legion organization, family, I say, but also the importance of having pastors out there and still talking to some, which in my state of Wisconsin, and some units reporting that no reports of suicide have taken occurrence. And then also being hungry for God's word. That's a key. That's a key.
Lord,
I know I'm talking quite a bit now.
Those are some pretty significant statistics. Yeah. Yeah. And we're going to learn more about Pastor Seehafer's service in the American Legion and how he had the opportunity to serve for a year as the American Legion commander. We'll continue that conversation in just a moment right here on the Coffee Hour. I'm Andy Bates.
I'm Sarah Golseth.
At Concordia University, Wisconsin, we believe you were created for a reason, to use your God-given gifts to help others. To live a life of self-sacrifice in a me-first world. To live a life that's uncommon. Whether you're taking one of 50-plus online programs or learning with us in person on the shores of Lake Michigan, you'll be equipped to make an uncommon impact. Learn more at cuw.edu. Concordia University, Wisconsin. Live uncommon.
Oh, this wooden toy set is really, really fun.
It is.
We could pretend it's like real life.
Kids love to play, and play that points to Jesus is a big part of a child's faith journey. Wooden toys from Wicking Vicar do just that, growing the faith through play. Wicking Vicar's Children's Church playset lets little ones delve into the divine service, and the Children's Advent Wreath is a safe way for kids to make the Advent tradition their own. Solid wood and heirloom quality for children ages 3 and up. Order yours today at wickingvicar.com and click on Wooden Toys in the menu bar. This Christmas, gift the children in your life faith-building wooden toys from Wicking Vicar.
Welcome back to the Coffee Hour. I'm Andy Bates.
I'm Sarah Golseth.
Our guest today, the Reverend Daniel Seehafer, is pastor of St. Stephen Lutheran Church in Horicon, Wisconsin. He served as the national commander of the American Legion for 2023 through 2024. And learning about his service as a Navy chaplain and now as a veteran, joining the American Legion at the invitation of one of his members, and then learning more about the Legion through that, and eventually becoming serving in leadership in the American Legion as well. Tell us a little bit more about that story, from accepting the invitation of one of your members to join the American Legion to accepting leadership roles and eventually becoming the national commander for the American Legion.
Yes. I tell you what, Andy, it's just amazing. And I thought it was just a little veterans club, you know. We have a little building on the corner. And when I became commander there, that is a leader there within the community, I just had visions of like, hey, we need to upgrade our building. And so we did a building project. And it seemed like everything I touched, we were building. When I came, I forgot to mention, when I became pastor here, an administrative pastor, we were on the verge of a building project, meaning we built a brand new church. That's huge, you know, having a building from 1904 and worshiping since to now coming to a brand new one in 2001. So again, a lot of things happening, but it seemed like everywhere I went, they were like pointing at me, see it for the builder, you know, but I just wanted to make a place where veterans could go and be at, not peace per se, but just to have a place they can call home in a good place, not just a rundown building. So when I learned more about the American Legion from the community level, yeah, they do fundraisers and selling brats and hamburgers. That's a big thing in Wisconsin, you know. But doing these little fundraisers to help support our programs like Legion Baseball, give scholarships out, support the Constitution, have oratoricals and have students learn about the Constitution and what America means and things like that. So, you know, that's at the local level. But then I started going up in that leadership, overseeing county, overseeing the district, which involved six counties, then becoming the department commander, where I, at that time, served over 60-some thousand Wisconsin veterans. Then going on national committees and commissions, where I was with not only membership, but also veterans employment and education. I dealt with legislative issues. And then from there, becoming a candidate and then actually getting elected. The things that we do, the power of our voice. For example, I don't think our leaders maybe know this, but the GI Bill didn't fall from the sky. Now, of course, God had a hand in this, of course, but he used the American Legion. It was a past national commander, National Commander Comrie, who actually penned that from a hotel and submitted it through a resolution, and it got traction. And we actually made sure that the last passing senator would come in and vote yes for that passage. In fact, FDR thought that by passing the GI Bill that it would actually bankrupt the country. And what it did is it exploded it in a great way of middle class, just created the middle class, and all those people coming back now could go to school. And a lot of our schools would not be in existence today. Even the University of Wisconsin, that comes from the GI Bill, money that was given to better America. A lot of people don't realize that. The VA, we wanted the creation of that and having a full-time secretary for the VA. All these things that came from the American Legion. And I would say you take American Legion out of things and out of history, it wouldn't be such a good history. So we are really a champion for veterans issues today. And it's not just something that happened in the past back in 1944 with the GI Bill, but something that is still happening today.
How does your congregation support you in this rise to leadership and serving as the national commander?
Yes, I'll tell you what. In a case like this, you know, with a large congregation, you know, some were for it and some were not. And not that they were upset that, hey, you know, you should be here kind of thing. It's just that I must say that they do respect me and love me, which is, it's a two-way street. So I am very appreciative of my congregation, but leadership really supported that. And when they saw this idea or this reality going to come to fruition, they were like, we're on board. We will support you. And so they gave me the time, and that's why I just had the sabbatical. So talking about vacation, this was not vacation. I put in 12 to 18 hours per day, 7 days a week. It was long hours. I traveled around the world twice. I've been to every state, some states twice. I went to the border. I saw some devastation with that. And then I also saw some things I would never have seen, going to Vietnam, going to South Korea, going to Taiwan. I met with their president at the time. That was the last president. I don't know what they were talking about, but it was pretty good, I believe, you know, because they were in a different language. But they did enjoy my visit. Vietnam, we were on a recovery mission. It was an MIA, more likely a killed in action. But we were on a recovery mission, and we did find wreckage. We also found remains. I cannot say where or who, but hopefully we can close that case and bring peace to family members still living. So that's very, very emotional. And then, of course, like I said, South Korea, being on that DMZ and knowing the stark difference between dictatorship and freedom. I think sometimes we forget the freedom that we have, and to be able to come on a Saturday night, Sunday morning, to worship our Lord, to say Jesus, you know, we should never, ever take that for granted. I saw just the stark contrast of freedom versus dictatorship. And my other trip that I went was to Rota, Spain, to be able to go on the USS Buckley, which is now in the Mediterranean, and to see that ship now in action. And then, of course, from there, I was able to go to NATO, was in Brussels, SHAPE, the Supreme Headquarters. And then, of course, I got to visit Normandy and attend the ceremony there for the 80th anniversary. Very emotional as well, very emotional. And to have somebody come up from another country, I dedicated at St. Margalies, where it was the first city to be freed, but we dedicated a statue there in honor of Eisenhower and his leadership. And I gave a little speech there, but to have somebody come up from Austria and another individual from another country coming up to me and just thanking me for my words and saying, just please go back and tell as many as you can the appreciation that we have and to have America never take for granted freedom. It's just moving. Just very moving. And yes, Sarah, question.
I was just going to say, what did you learn in your year serving as National Commander for the American Legion?
I learned that there are people hurting, and they're hurting, but they're hungry. And one thing that was also very interesting is that I had so many people come up to me because I did not shy away from my faith. To have so many come up to me and say, you know something, we appreciate you to incorporate faith. Because when we start with our preamble, when we come together, we always say for God and country, for God right away. And everybody knew that I was a pastor, currently still serving, obviously, but that I really had a passion and a heart for veterans and their families. And I would take time. So if somebody was hurting, I would take time and listen. But even to plant that seed and just tell people that, you know, we're here for you, I think that's very important. I learned that. And I learned the importance of, you know, where I was really pushing the changing lives and saving lives of what we do. I think some people think, you know, the American Legion is just a little club on the corner, you know, where we sell stuff and you know, beer, brats, and burgers kind of thing, you know, and we're more than that. We really are compassionate about people and care for people. And I really believe that there's a, for us, that we can make a difference in the suicide. It's the same thing dealing with church and that hunger for God, and especially for Christ and what he does for each of us.
We have just about 2 minutes left, but what would you like to share with your fellow veterans on this Veterans Day?
Well, first and foremost, we always say the thank you. And really knowing the difference between Veterans Day and that of Memorial Day. Veterans Day is obviously, well, we never forget the cost of freedom, obviously. But for Veterans Day, that's where we get the opportunity to say thank you to those who are still living, you know, who are still here. And we can do that by, if we know a veteran business, we're going to support it. If we know people, it's just not the tap on the shoulder, but really to grab that hand and say thank you for your service. And never, ever stop saying thank you. I think that is a big thing these days, and that appreciation. And when I went around it, I didn't say thank you to those who were just members of the American Legion. Yes, I'm partial. Join the American Legion today, right? But whether you're a member of the American Legion or not, just say thank you for the time that you gave, whether it was one day or 20 plus years. You raised your hand and you took a vow to uphold the Constitution and defend the freedoms of this country, which we are on the verge of celebrating 250 years, by the way.
Yes, certainly. Thank you to those who have served. Mm-hmm. Our guest today, the Reverend Daniel C. Hafer, pastor of St. Stephen Lutheran Church in Horicon, Wisconsin, who served as National Commander of the American Legion for 23-24. Pastor C. Hafer, thank you so much for being our guest today.
It's great to be here. Thanks for having me.
You can read more about Pastor C. Haver's story in the fall issue of Lutherans Engage the World. We'll share the link in the program notes today. Special thanks to Megan Mertz, managing editor of Lutherans Engage the World, for this story. You've been listening to The Coffee Hour. I'm Andy Bates.
I'm Sarah Golseth.
The Coffee Hour with Andy and Sarah is a production of KFUO. To support The Coffee Hour and KFUO Radio, visit KFUO.org. You can also text KFUO to 41444 or send an email to gifts@KFUO.org. And you can call us at 800-844-0524. KFUO. Christ for you, anytime, anywhere.